Where are we? Well, in case anybody doesn't know, we are right there in a galaxy called the Milky Way, third spiral arm from the center, third rock from the sun, on a pea-sized planet called Earth, United States of America, Fox River Church, Sheridan, Illinois. That's where we are as far as space. But even more importantly, where are we as far as time? Well, the Bible tells us we're living in the end times and in the last days. And in the Bible, God clearly lays out a timeline for the end times that we've already started to follow, leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And according to that timeline, we are right there in what's called the church age, this close to the rapture. And what's going to happen after that? And how are the rest of the end times going to be shaken out? And where are we going to be through the whole thing? Well, we're going to start answering those questions. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events in God's plan for the end times leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start this series this morning where the end times start. The very first thing on the timeline called the church age. And to see that, we turn today to Acts chapter 1 and verses 6 through 11. If you have your Bibles, turn with me please. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for your word. And as we start this series, Lord, on the end times, I pray you just show us how critical it is in this church age that we as the church are doing what you've called us to do. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of Acts chapter 1, Jesus has spent 40 days after he rose from the dead, proving that he was alive and teaching the disciples. And in our text today, he tells the disciples to use the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to start the church. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, whatever the disciples did at the start of the church age, we got to double down like our hair's on fire because we're at the end of the church age and time is running out. Our text this morning, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, tells us three things that we need to do right now during the church age because Jesus Christ is coming again. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do during the church age, we need to realize we really are in the church age. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verses 6 through 11. And in case anybody doubts that, is this a church? Are we having church right now in this church? Is the church of Jesus Christ still functioning and operating different parts of the United States and different parts of the world right now? Yes. Well then, this is the church age. So it's not just Indian summer. It's not just that time of the year when pumpkin spice lattes come back to McDonald's or when the Chicago Bears fire another head coach. It's not the Stone Age, the Ice Age, the Digital Age. It's not the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. You got to know where you are. It's the church age. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us here. 40 days after Jesus died and rose again, he takes the disciples to the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem because he's just about to ascend into heaven. And right before Jesus goes up and away, verse 6, the disciples ask him, are we there yet? Is this the end? Are you going to fulfill all the prophecies in the Old Testament about Israel and give to the Jewish people the kingdom that God the Father promised them? And Jesus says, hold your horses. That's coming, but you got to wait for a while because something else has to happen. Verse 4, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And what was that going to do? That was going to start the church. And what was the church going to do? Verse 8, spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, all over the world. And over the last 2,000 years, that is exactly what's happened. And it's still happening to this day. So before there would be a kingdom of Israel on the earth, there would be the kingdom of God on the earth through the church, the start of the church age. So the first part of the end times and the last days is the church age that we are living in right now. Because Acts chapter 2 verses 16 and 17 says, Pentecost was a partial fulfillment of the prophecy, Joel 2, 28 to 32, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the last days. And when is the church age going to end? Verses 9 through 11. After Jesus lifts off, the two angels tell the disciples, the same Jesus that you saw go into heaven is going to come back down from heaven to take you out of here. So the church age is that period of time between the start of the church at Pentecost and the rapture when Jesus comes to get us. So folks, we're not waiting for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Bible prophecy is already being fulfilled. We're not waiting for the end times to start because the end times have already started. Because we're living in them right now just by being here in this church. Does everybody know where we are? Never Trumpers. Slam Donald Trump by claiming this is the age of Trump. But here's the crazy thing. The number 7 in the Bible is God's number for perfection and completion. And look at all the times the number 7 is associated with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was born exactly 700 days before the founding of Israel, May 14th, 1948. The day he was inaugurated as president, he was exactly 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. He beat Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election by 77 electoral votes. He was elected on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 7th year, 7th month, and 7th day in office. Donald Trump is now running for president again at the age of 77. I could go on and on. So don't tell me that God hasn't used Donald Trump to do all kinds of special things, even fulfilling biblical prophecy about Israel. But in spite of that, it's not the Trump age. It's all about the church age. And of course, the world today thinks the whole thing is a joke. Last summer, the Holy Cow Diner in Alexandria, Virginia, came out with what they called the End of the World Burger. A breaded deep-fried beef patty topped with pork belly, provolone and cheddar cheese, a runny fried egg, and sriracha aioli mayonnaise. So if the end of the world doesn't take you out, that heart attack on a bun certainly will. People think the end times is a joke. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You don't think we're living in the last days? Last Wednesday, 1:20 in the afternoon, FEMA and the FCC tuned up for a test of the National Emergency Alert System, and everybody all over America got a blaring sound on their phone. Even if you had your phone turned to silent, you still got a blaring sound on your phone. And here's the crazy thing that happened one day after Russia conducted a nationwide emergency drill for a possible nuclear attack. And 1 week before Russia is going to test fire off all kinds of nuclear ballistic missiles themselves. And the question is, how in the world could they just take over everybody's phone and ping them like that? And if you had your phone turned off, is there a record of that now somewhere too? You don't think we're living in the last days? You don't think Big Brother already knows where every single one of us is? You don't think we're already living under a digital ID tracking system that can monitor every single thing that we do? You don't think we're already living under the mark of the beast system that your real emergency alert system called your Bible says what happened during the last days? Last summer, 14,000 people in the state of Louisiana signed a petition to get rid of all statues of Confederate soldiers in that state and replace them with monuments to Britney Spears. You don't think we're living in the last days? And I know there's some Christians listening to this sermon this morning saying, Kevin, you shouldn't even be talking about the end times. Because Jesus says here in verse 7, it's not for us to know the times or the dates or the signs or the seasons. And because of that, Rick Warren says, stupid Christians, the end times are none of your business. Oh, really? Notice here, the disciples knew that the Old Testament promised over and over again that Israel would have a kingdom with the Messiah ruling over the whole wide world in the last days. So they were right about the truth of it. They were just wrong about the time of it. And notice Jesus doesn't say, you stupid idiots, end times is none of your business. So don't ever talk about it again. No, because there really is a kingdom coming. And there really are times and seasons and dates. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16, verse 33, we should be studying and knowing those signs of the times because God wants us to know them. So Jesus isn't slamming the disciples for asking the question here. He's just redirecting their attention for a while to the Great Commission. So they would build a church and start the church age. Do we realize that we are living in the church age? And do we understand how absolutely critical it is that we know where we are? Every other year, Sue and I go to the American Association of Christian Counselors International Conference. And because there's almost 8,000 people that attend this thing, it's always held at the huge Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you've never been there, the Opryland Hotel is a gigantic pain in the neck because it's way too big. In fact, I think you can see the curvature of the earth in parts of it. 12 acres of hotel with an indoor water park, an indoor river, an arboretum with over 8,000 tropical plants that looks like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, 7 floors, 2,888 rooms, 15 restaurants, way too many people stay in there, not enough people work in there. It is an absolute pain to try to navigate. Well, last September the 13th, Sue and I checked in, got all of our stuff out of the car, and onto a luggage car. And if you don't know, Sue and I never go anywhere light. Suitcase, shoe bag, garment bag, handbag with grooming stuff and vitamins. We took our own pillows, brought our own water, brought our own food because you can't afford to eat in the restaurants. We took both of our computers and boxes of books and papers so we could get stuff done that we never have time to do at home. So the luggage rack was loaded to the gunwales, and I wanted to push my luggage rack to my own room because if you don't do that at Opryland, you wait forever for somebody to bring it to you. And the gal at the desk gave us a map and pointed out to where our room was, right up here in a yellow section called Magnolia. And she also drew a line on that map to tell us how to get to that room. We're supposed to go right here through the green section. Right past the hallway to the spa was the hallway left to the Magnolia section to where our room was. And she said, there's signs all over the place to tell you where you are every single step along the way. And of course, I'd been there 5 times before. I didn't need no stupid map. I didn't need no stupid sign. I knew where I was going. So off we went. Me pulling that cart like a coal mine mule and Sue trying to keep up. But the problem was, instead of going through the green section right here, we went into the green section over here and got lost in miles and miles of nothing but rooms and hallways. We were so lost a trail of breadcrumbs and a St. Bernard couldn't have gotten us out of there. And of course, there were signs everywhere all over the place that said, you are here. But the problem was, being there wasn't going to get us any closer to where our room was. Because no matter what we did, we weren't getting any closer to Magnolia. So I finally, after sweating off about 30 pounds, I told Sue, this isn't right, let's go back. So I pulled the cart all the way back to the lobby and again, didn't look at the map because I knew where I was going. So we went the way we always go to the big convention meeting rooms in what's called the Delta section. Over here, across the bridge, over the Lazy River, and ended up at a set of stairs in an elevator that didn't work. And we were even further away from our room than ever before. And I was this close to chucking the whole thing. Where is the end of the world when you need it? And finally, I found a woman who worked there. She said, just go back across the bridge, take the elevator and the tower to the second level. There'll be a walkway there to Magnolia. And what do you know? She was right. Got back in our room. All was well. We realized all we had to do was go through the middle of this green section like that gal told us. 50 feet later, there was the hallway to our room. It would have taken us 5 minutes. Instead, it took us an hour. There's an hour of my life. I'm never going to get back. And you know why? Because I didn't know where I really was. I just thought I knew where I was. That gal gave us a map to help us navigate that hotel and signs to follow to let us know where we were every single step along the way. But if you don't follow the map, you don't follow the signs, you don't know where you are, you're going to get lost and you're going to end up someplace you don't really want to be. People, let me ask you this morning. In these last days, do you really know where you are? Or do you just think you know where you are? Because in the Bible, God gives us a map to help us navigate the end times and gives us signs to help us know where we are every single step along the way. And all that map and that sign point to the fact that we are right here in the church age. You don't follow the map, you don't follow the signs, you don't know where you are, you're going to get lost and you're going to end up someplace that you don't really want to be. And Christians, we will never be able to do what God has called us to do when it matters the most. The first thing that we need to do right now in the church age, we need to realize we really are in the church age. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do during the church age. We not only need to realize we're in the church age, we also need to stay faithful. And that's also what Jesus is telling us here in verses 6 through 11. Stay faithful as the church to spread the gospel. But the problem is, too many Christians today aren't staying faithful as the church because they're not even being faithful to go to church. If Jesus could deny himself and go to the cross, you can deny yourself and get your butt out of bed to go to church. But the problem is, too many Christians aren't doing that anymore. And the statistics make you want to cry. The church in America has lost more members in the last 25 years than the number of new Christians won during the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and all of Billy Graham's crusades combined. Southern Baptists have lost 500,000 members in the last 2 years. Mega churches all over America are hemorrhaging members. Less than 30% of Christians in America ever go to a church on Sunday. Only 16% of Christians go to church every week. Half of all Christians in America don't go to church 3 out of 4 Sundays. Here is church on a Sunday morning in America. Here's an NFL football stadium on a Sunday afternoon in America. Still wonder why this country's going to hell in a handbasket? The church in America is dying, people. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, do not neglect the assembling together of the saints. And especially as you see the day approaching, it's talking about the Lord's day, the last day. We're in the last days. And time is running out, and Jesus is coming, and my God, what if he came back on a Sunday morning? And you decided to sleep in that day because you stayed up till 3 a.m. the night before, binge-watching Stranger Things. Wake up, church! Because Mark chapter 13, verse 36, woe be unto that servant who when his master returns, finds him asleep. Who's staying faithful? Sadly enough, the church today isn't staying faithful because it's not staying faithful to the gospel. And because of that, we're not just in the church age, we're at the end of the church age. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 2 and 3 says, what's going to happen right before the rapture and the great tribulation start? The great falling away from the faith. And don't tell me that's not what we see happening in the church right now. National Cathedral, Washington D.C., Episcopal Church, last year put in stained glass windows to honor anti-God, anti-Christian, communist, Marxist, Black Lives Matter. And it's not surprising because the Episcopal Church has been reprobate for decades. Sue and I were in the National Cathedral back in 2010. They were selling Buddha statues in the gift shop. More and more churches going gay and drinking the rainbow Kool-Aid. United Methodists are now split completely in half because too many Methodists think that sodomy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Pope Francis is now forming a special committee so that the Catholic Church can thumb its nose at God and bless same-sex marriage. In case you don't know, Pope Francis has always been gay-affirming. It's just that now the Vatican can't keep it hidden anymore. Last September 28th and 29th was the Pro-Gay Unconditional Conference at Pastor Andy Stanley's North Point Megachurch in Atlanta, Georgia. Two of the speakers at that conference were two gay men, fake married to other men, who told the crowd, God blesses homosexuality. And I know there's people here and you should say, well, Kevin, doesn't God love LGBTQ people unconditionally? Of course he does. And we ought to love them that way too. But here's the problem. Salvation isn't unconditional. There's a condition. You've got to do something to be saved. You've got to acknowledge your sin, including the sin of LGBTQ, and you've got to repent of it. And you've got to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to your life and to start changing you. But the problem, that message was never shared one single time at that conference. Pastor Andy Stanley is a false teacher, folks, and he has been for years. So how do you get out of a mess of a church like that? I got an idea. Try the door. Last September the 17th, Hope Cathedral, Dallas, Texas, the biggest LGBTQ church in America, hosted what they called Drag Sunday to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, those sodomites who dress up like nuns so they can slam Christianity with things like hunky Jesus on the cross contests and gay orgy last suppers. Honored them, even though one of the so-called sisters last month got arrested for masturbating in a public park. Yeah, let's honor them. Here's a part of what that service looked like.
We embrace radical inclusivity and work to dismantle systems of oppression and fight against all forms of hate, prejudice, and intolerance. In order to live in the world that honors and celebrates every person's unique identity and identity.
You ever seen anything like that before in your entire life? That's in a church. Folks, that's what you call people not putting up with sound doctrine. God help us, folks. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. That's the church of Sodom and Gomorrah. Too many clueless Christians putting signs like that in their front yard, immigrants and refugees welcome. Could you have any idea what that's causing? You see the pictures? The little babies getting cut to pieces as they're crawling through razor wire trying to get in the United States. All the graves and all the dead bodies, all the people who are dying trying to get into our country because Joe Biden wants future Democrat voters and is waving the checkered flag. All the 12-year-old boys showing up at the border wearing diapers. Because they've been raped and sodomized so much their bowels are torn up. Little girls who are repeatedly raped and molested because how else are they going to pay the $10,000 trafficking fee to the cartel? And Joe Biden could stop this nightmare in 5 minutes by issuing an executive order to close the border, and he doesn't do it. And you know why? Because the left is profiting from the sex trafficking that's going on there too. But see, we conservatives, we're against illegal immigration just because we're racist and xenophobic and because we just hate people who don't look like us. Absolutely ridiculous. This is the church age, all right. It's the church of Laodicea. This is the church that's going to miss the rapture and go into the great tribulation and worship the Antichrist when he shows up. Lukewarm Laodicean Christians don't go to heaven, folks. Who's staying faithful? And the people that are to blame the most for the church is not staying faithful are weak-kneed, lily-livered, yellow-bellied pastors who are too scared to speak the truth. The silence from America's pulpits today is absolutely deafening on the most critical issues of our time. And every single one of those snowflake pastors tells me exactly the same thing. Kevin, I'm not going to preach anything that's political. Well, that's a cop-out because every single so-called political issue is also a moral and a spiritual issue that God talks about in the Bible, and we got to talk about too. Kevin, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm doing my job. You are not doing your job because you're not being a watchman on the wall and you're not protecting the sheep from the wolves. For crying out loud, pastors, put on your big boy and big girl pants and say something. For crying out loud, get rid of all this woke, happy, clappy, love is love, can't we just all get along, claptrap, and give people the word of God. Stay faithful. Stay faithful by spreading the gospel. Verse 8, Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses. And Christians, let me ask you, these last days, at the very end of the church age, are you really spreading the gospel? Are you really sharing your faith? And witnessing to the people around you when it matters the most. And you don't have to stand on a street corner with a bullhorn to do it. 3 years ago when the lockdown started. Christian gal named Destiny Allbritton went on TikTok and just started making 15-second videos of her reading scripture. You don't even see her in the video because it's not about her. All you see are the pages of her Bible and her finger moving under the verses as she reads them. And over the last 3 years, she's gotten over 600,000 followers and over 12 million likes. You don't think people are dying and desperate to hear something about God and to get some of His Word? Faithful to get people the Word of God. And I need to say this, and you need to hear it too. Fox River is faithful to give people the Word of God. Because I know what ignorant people say about this church. Because I get the cards and the letters and the emails. Fox River, that's the MAGA church. They're just all about politics. Fox River wants to save the country. They don't do anything to save people. I heard a pastor in Morris say, I know for a fact Kevin Garner never preaches the gospel. Really. Well, Kevin, pastors tell me it's a lot more important to get people saved than it is to save the country. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Indisputably. Saving people is more important than saving the country. My question, why can't we do both? We do here at Fox River. We talk about all kinds of national issues. We talk about the Constitution. We talk about rights and freedoms. But if there's any other church in this area that does more evangelistic outreach than Fox River does, you're going to have to tell me what it is. I cannot tell you how many people have gotten saved in this church and through this church. Especially over the last 3 years. Got another letter just last week. Dear Pastor Garner, I don't have a church home anymore. The Methodist church I attended most of my life just kept getting further and further away from the Lord and the truth of His Word. So I started listening to you and Fox River on the radio on Sunday mornings. And I just wanted to write to thank you and your church for your ministry because the sermons led me to Christ. And for the first time in my life, I have a real personal relationship with the Lord and I know that I'm saved. Thank you again for all your church does. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But see, Fox River is just all about politics, right? People listen to me. Don't tell me at Fox River Church doesn't try to stay faithful. Last Thursday, August the 24th, got up about 6 a.m. to work on a sermon, got done about 7:30, walked outside of the garage to go run, and I saw some people sitting in the grass next to a silver car that they had pulled off of Highway 70 run right by the parsonage driveway. So I walked out there, and it was a man and a woman in their early 30s, 9-year-old daughter, little 3-year-old boy, and the man's mom, a grandma. And they had hit something on Interstate 80, and by the time they got to our house, they had a flat tire. They didn't have a spare, they didn't have a donut, they didn't have a jack to fix it, and whoever the guy was talking to on the phone, they weren't going to come and help them either. Okay, somebody needs help. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they paint themselves orange and howl at the moon. I'm going to do every single thing I can to help them. Because 1 John 4:19, we love because He loved us first. So I told them to pull the car into the yard to get it off of 71. Got a jack, jacked up the car, helped the guy get the tire off, tried the donut for my car, but it wouldn't fit. And about that time, good old Linda Ness showed up because she always gives us her Ottawa newspaper after she's done with it. And right away, Linda offered the guy the spare from her vehicle, but that wouldn't fit either. So then Linda took the mom and the grandma to Sheridan to try to get the tire patched. And Linda's talking about Jesus all the way there. And they had to go to the bathroom, so Linda brought them here to the church to use the bathroom and talked to them about our church too. Got to the place in Sheridan, but they couldn't patch it. So came back to the parsonage, and Linda volunteered to take grandma to Farm and Fleet to get a new tire. Talk about going above and beyond. Well, while they were gone, Sue came out of the house with some water bottles and some energy bars, and we noticed there weren't a lot of parenting skills there because there wasn't a whole lot of discipline. And those two kids were absolutely out of control. And come to find out, that family was on their way to Chicago because they were going to drop the little girl off at a special school for kids with severe behavioral problems. Pretty sad. But while Sue was out there, she got a chance to talk to him about the Lord and about all kinds of spiritual things. Meanwhile, Sue's taking Grandma to Farm and Fleet, and Grandma just breaks down and starts crying. Got in there, they didn't have any money. Linda ended up buying them a brand new tire for their car. And grandma cries and cries. Brought the tire home, helped the guy get it on. Come to find out the little boy had played with the lug nuts and lost two of them, so we had to take another lug nut off the other back tire. They were good to go. Sue and Linda both gave him some money for some food or McDonald's, whatever, because they didn't have any money to eat either. They thanked us a lot and off they went. And we haven't seen or heard from them since. But here's the kicker. While that woman was riding with Linda, Linda said she was. She was crying and crying because she could not believe that anybody would help them like we had helped them. And you know what Linda told them? Well, we're Christians. And that's just what we do. Just so you know, the secretary you have here at Fox River just doesn't sit in the office and answer the phone. But see, Fox River, just all about politics, right? Christians, listen to me. In these last days, especially at the end of the church age, we're going to see more trouble, helpless, hopeless, desperate people than we have ever seen before in our lives. And God is going to give us more opportunities coming out of our ears to reach out to people like that with the love of Jesus Christ. And we're not even going to have to go find them because God's going to bring them right to our front door. Christians, the reason that God has not raptured us out of here yet, the reason that we are still here is because there are still people that God wants us to reach out to, just like that family. So till the very nanosecond we close our eyes in death or we hear the last trumpet sound, we're not just going to go to church, we're going to be the church, the body of Christ and the light in the world. Revelation chapter 2 verse 11. Be faithful unto death till the very nanosecond that God takes you out of here. Then he will give you the crown of life. Second thing we need to do during the church age. We need to stay faithful. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do during the church age. We not only need to realize we're in the church age, we not only need to stay faithful, but third, we need to take a stand. And that's also what Jesus is implying here in verses 6 through 11. And I realize when I say that, all kinds of Christians are saying, no, Kevin, we don't have to take a stand. We just need to love Jesus. We just need to love Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus. But Psalm chapter 97 verse 10 says if you really love Jesus, then you'll hate evil. And you'll do something, you'll stand up and fight against it. No, Kevin, we just need to preach the gospel. Yes, we preach the gospel. But what are you going to do when Big Brother takes away your right to preach the gospel? You've got to stand up and fight for the rights that you have. You say, but Kevin, that doesn't have anything to do with God. Are you kidding me? The same God who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead for your salvation created you with unalienable rights that he enshrined in the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson said, the same God who gave us life gave us liberty, freedom. And if you don't use that freedom to defend your freedom, you're going to lose your freedom. Christians, stand up and take a stand and defend your rights. And listen to me. You're going to do that. You better hurry. Because right now in America, we are seeing the greatest attack on personal rights and freedoms since the days of slavery. Happened during the pandemic. People would go to the hospital with COVID, and doctors had two choices. They could get those patients to take ivermectin, which they knew would cure them in about 4 or 5 days. Hospital bill would be about $3,200. Or they could badger and scare and intimidate and manipulate those patients into taking remdesivir. And even though remdesivir would kill them, see, the deal was, if a patient took remdesivir, the federal government would pay the entire hospital bill, average $500,000 a pop, plus a 20% bonus, another $125,000. Blood money. So, gee, which one of those two options do you think most of the doctors chose? God help us, people, you talk about evil. At Nuremberg, 7 Nazi doctors were hung by the U.S. military tribunal for murder, torture, and atrocities committed in the name of medical science. God help us, people. That is exactly what too many doctors and nurses did all over America to COVID patients during the pandemic. And Christians, listen to me. If we don't stand up and fight against it, they're going to do it again. Stand up. Take a stand against evil. Because right now you and I are witnessing the greatest attack against parents and children and families that we have ever seen in our lifetime. Last January, the U.S. House of Representatives was voting on a bill that would give life-saving medical care to babies who survived an abortion. and 210 Democrats voted against it. A viable human baby that had been ripped up and injured by an abortion procedure in agonizing pain, absolutely terrified, screaming and crying and bleeding out on a table. And 210 Democrats said, so what? God help us, people. The left has no soul. But don't worry, parents, because leftist queers aren't grooming your kids. They're changing their pronouns without telling you. They're giving them sex toys and gay porn in school. But don't worry, they're not grooming your kids. Picture you see there in the middle of the screen is a genderqueer unicorn named Bryce Van Vreet, special education teacher, Pulaski, Wisconsin, who directed his elementary age students, to his social media so they could see pictures of him naked and pictures of him whipping himself and pictures of him dressed up like his drag queen character he calls Novocaine. You talk about contributing to the sexual delinquency of a minor. You talk about lewd and lascivious behavior. But the school would not fire him. And you know why? Because they said none of that affected the way he interacts with kids in a classroom. Are you kidding me? Look at those pictures. No. No grooming going on there. Nothing to see there at all. Can everybody say homeschooling? California Senate Bill 596 puts parents in jail for a year now if they speak up at a school board meeting. Back in 1925, the United States Supreme Court said this: the liberty of parents includes the right to direct the upbringing and the education of children under their control. But in spite of that, last summer, a judge in Montgomery County, Maryland, ruled that parents of third and fourth graders do not have the right to opt those kids out of brainwashing LGBTQ propaganda in a public school. They're coming for your rights, parents. And they're coming for your kids. And the only way they're going to stop is if you stand up and stop them. Stand up. Stand up against the attack. 12-year-old Jaden Rodriguez is a seventh grader at the Vanguard School, Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's a born-again patriot. Both of his parents are born-again patriot American lovers. And for 2 years, he had a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack. In case anybody know, the Gadsden flag is the flag that has the snake on it and the words, "Don't tread on me." And for 2 years, nobody complained. There was never an issue. Until first day of school this year, last August the 28th, when a teacher told him he had to take that patch off his backpack because it might cause a disturbance. Well, it never caused any disturbance before. And that teacher told him if he didn't take that patch off of his backpack, he'd be kicked out of school. So then his mom, Eden Rodriguez, came to the school because she wasn't going to take that. She wasn't going to bow down to that. And the teacher told her, "The reason they do not want the flag, the reason we do not want that flag displayed is due to its origins with slavery and the slave trade and white supremacy and the Confederacy. The backpack can't go back if it's got the patch on it because we can't have that in and around other kids." Well, Eden Rodriguez wasn't going to sit for that. She told that teacher the Gadsden flag has absolutely nothing to do with slavery or racism. That flag was created back during the Revolutionary War by a South Carolina soldier named Christopher Gadsden, and it was based on political cartoons that have been drawn by Ben Franklin. Cartoons about rattlesnakes because Benjamin Franklin wanted the rattlesnake to be the symbol of our country. Very good eyes for vigilance, peaceful until it's attacked, but when it is attacked, it's deadly. And that flag was first used in 1776 by the Continental Navy at a time when the 10% of the sailors and soldiers in the Continental Navy were black. That flag has absolutely nothing to do about racism. Wrong war, wrong side. That flag is simply a symbol of resistance against government tyranny. We fly the Gladstone flag here at Fox River about every 8 or 9 weeks. So Jaden and his mom knew more about that flag than the teacher did. So August 29th, the very next night, there was an emergency school board meeting. The very next day, Jaden was told he could come back to school and he did not have to take that patch off of his book bag. Touche! And now all the other kids at the Vanguard School are putting Gadsden flag patches everywhere. They got them all over their book bags, all over their lockers, all over their clothes. It's covered the school. But here's the problem. Jaden was also told if even one person at that school complains, he has to take that patch off. What's up with that? That's not what the First Amendment says. The fight goes on. Take a stand. And don't tell me that taking a stand isn't worth it. Last July, Reuters came out with a big study. Do you know what group of Americans handled COVID and the lockdown better than any other group of Americans? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically? Well, surprise, surprise, it was conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical Christians. And Reuters didn't tell us why, but I know why. All the while, the left was scaring the living hell out of people with panic porn about infection rates and body counts. We Christians weren't scared at all. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and love and a sound mind. See, once you fear God, you'll never fear anything else. And we saw through that scamdemic because we Christians have the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 7. And because of that, we saw through all the lies like a lace curtain. We knew from the very start they were lying their tails off. They lied about the China virus coming from a wet market. They lied about the virus being deadly to everybody. They lied about the virus killing perfectly healthy children. They lied about the mortality rate of the virus because only 6% of COVID deaths were really from COVID. They lied about masks stopping COVID. They lied about the vaccine being safe and effective. They lied about the vaccine keeping people from getting sick from COVID and being hospitalized for it and dying from it. They lied about asymptomatic spread. They lied about people not having natural immunity to COVID. They lied about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine not being cures for COVID. In Illinois, the churches were closed, the pot shops, the liquor stores, the strip clubs, and the casinos were still open. That told us Christians everything we ever needed to know about the scandemic. They lied to us like Pinocchio. And yet they still have the gall to make ads like that.
We are your doctors.
You trust us.
You trust us.
You trust us.
You trust us.
You trust us with your life. You trust us with those you love.
So trust us when we say,
get vaccinated against COVID-19.
The vaccines are safe. They are proven to work.
You may have wanted to wait. I get it. But don't wait until it's too late.
Trust us.
Trust us.
Trust us.
Trust us.
Trust them? Yeah, I trust them. About as far as I can throw Governor J.B. Pritzker. Because that cabal led one of the greatest attacks on our rights and freedoms in the history of this country and sold their soul and let people die for the sake of money. Trust doctors like Dr. Fauci? I don't trust Dr. Fauci. I trust Jesus Christ. Jesus ate with lepers, but Dr. Fauci told us to separate from each other because of a virus that had a 99.8% survivability rate, all the while banning therapeutics and killing people with remdesivir. My pronouns are prosecute Fauci. We got through the scamdemic because we obeyed God. Fox River closed for 7 weeks, but then reopened on Mother's Day 2020. And we decided we were never going to close for anything ever again. Because God commands us to go to church. And because we have a God-given constitutional right to go to church, no matter what's going on in the country. Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. Do you see why conservative Christians handled COVID and the lockdown better than anybody else? And what broke my heart the most was all the sheeple sellout Christians who trusted government over God and told all the rest of us if we were a real Christian, if we were a good neighbor like Jesus calls us to be, we'd wear a mask and we'd get vaccinated because Jesus would have worn a mask and Jesus would have gotten vaccinated. Oh no, he would not have. Because Jesus didn't spread sickness, Jesus healed sickness. And there is not one thing anywhere in the Gospels that says socialist distancing or wearing a face diaper or getting a depopulation vaccine is one of the requirements for being a Christian. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, lay down his life, take up his cross, mask up like the Lone Ranger and get the Fauci ouchie, then he can come and follow me. Does your Bible say that? Because my Bible doesn't say that. And I still have all the cards and letters and emails from all the kinos, all the Christians in name only who said, Kevin, because you're not vaccinated, that means you're not saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him and gets the clot shot will not perish but have everlasting life. That's crazy. But Kevin, it's just a mask. It's just a vaccine. Then it's going to be, it's just a digital ID. It's just an implantable microchip. It's just a one world government. It's going to keep you safe. It's just an internment camp. Sheeple led to the slaughter. Well, I don't know about you. I'm not going to follow the sheep. I'm going to follow the shepherd. After what we went through the last 3 years, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. So I will not wear your mask. I will not take your jab. I will not download your app. I will not go to your camp. I will not shelter in place. I will not eat your bugs. I will not give up my guns. I will not denounce my God. And I will not surrender the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world to demonic control freaks who want to destroy this country and every single thing that we stand for without giving it the fight of my life. So in the name of the Lord King Jesus Christ and absolutely every single thing that's holy, I will not comply. And it's not because I necessarily think that God is going to spare me from COVID or even death. It's because I know there is another life beyond this one. And I will not live this life like a slave to anybody but Jesus. Who's with me? And what happened? What happened to all the sheeple Christians and the sellout Christians? Well, a lot of those Christians and a lot of their churches are hurt. There's pastors listening to the sermon right now in this area. You wouldn't write vaccine exemption letters for your people. And you closed your church for 2.5 years. And what happened? Your people left. Because they will never forget that when they needed you the most, and you had an opportunity to fight back and stand up against government tyranny and anti-Christian bigotry, you trusted government over God and chickened out and wouldn't do it and wouldn't help them. We've got so many new people here at Fox River. You know one of the biggest reasons we've got new people is because when your church was closed, our church was still open. The lockdown was one of the greatest things that ever happened to Fox River Church. We got more new people than ever before. We had more membership classes than ever before. We saw more people saved than ever before. We got more income and more giving and more offerings than the 184-year history of this congregation. Do you know why people slam Fox River so much? Because we were willing to step out in faith and obey God and take a stand and do something that very few other churches in this entire area were willing to do. So while they were locking down, we were looking up. And God blessed us like crazy because of it. They hate us because they ain't us. But Christians, listen to me. We better never forget that stand that we took. Because in these last days, at the end of the church age, evil is just getting worse and worse and worse. And what the left tried to do to us during COVID, they're going to try to do it again. But Fox River, listen to me. We are still here. And when the world's at its worst, we're going to be at our best. When the darkness shines the world, we're going to shine the light the brightest. And we're going to keep hanging in there and hanging on and holding in there and taking a stand. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against Fox River Church. Because people, we ain't going anywhere, and I mean anywhere, until the rapture comes. Take a stand. First John 2:18. John writes, "Dear children, we are living in the last days." And John wrote that to Christians in a church 2,000 years ago. And if according to John and the Holy Spirit, the last day started 2,000 years ago, the church age started 2,000 years, how much closer today do you think we are 2,000 years later to the end of the church age and the rapture? I'll tell you how close. This close. 10 seconds to midnight. In a time that we have never been lived in before. The most prophesied time of all time in the entire Bible, right now. People, we are that generation. We are that last day's church upon whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And in these last days, in the church age, at the end of the church age, as the darkness settles in, and the light gets dimmer and dimmer, and time is running out, church has never been more important than it is right now. more than any place else in the whole wide world. You need to be in church. Parents, listen to me. More than any other time in your children's entire lives, your children need to be in church. Because this is where the healing is. This is where the power is. This is where the miracles happen. This is where decisions are made that last for eternity. This is where the comfort is. This is where the growth happens. Where the power and the strength comes from to get through these last days. I don't know about you. I want to go to church. Especially now. Especially in these last days. Especially at the end of the church age. I want to go to church.
To the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned from healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me to a preacher at a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Try to walk on my own and I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it is right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they see me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. I want to go to church.
An opportunity.